Okay, good evening, everyone. We are holding over here in continuation of 2 weeks ago. In the middle of Perek Beis, on page 154, in Shara Yechud Vamun, on the second section of Tanya. Okay. We left off last week. See, the second chapter is a continuation of the first chapter, where he's discussing the idea of the Baal Shem Tov, that creation is an ongoing thing. It's a perpetual thing. Hashem continuously has to create the world every second out of absolute nothingness. And if Hashem was to, if creation was to stop, even for one split second, and if Hashem would stop recreating all of existence every moment, then the creation would revert back to absolute nothingness, absolutely like it was before the world was created. Good. That's the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, and that's what we mean, that the words of Hashem are continuously, as the Baal Shem Tov says from the Pasuk, La'olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav Hashemayim, that your words, Hashem, are stand in the heavens forever and ever to continue to create them every second. And if the words of Hashem, as we've mentioned, if it would go away, then the words of Yehi Rakia, let there be a firmament, if those words would leave the creations and go back to their source, then the creation would completely lose itself. Okay. In the second parak, he continues, and he explains that idea is not just something that we have to accept by faith, because the Torah says so, but rather it's also something that is logically understood. And that is that when we see that when something new is coming into being, when something new is innovated, the force of the innovation needs to be continuously in that thing, in the thing that is being generated to generate that novelty, that newness. This though we find that when a person creates something, like a carpenter makes a table, or a silversmith makes a cup out of silver, they can leave the object alone and go away, and the object remains in its existence even after they part from it. However, that's because in those cases they're not doing anything new, really, because the material was there, and they're not the ones, the carpenter or the smith, they aren't the ones who are originating the material. All they did was give it, change the form of the material. And even that form is not something that they are contributing to the material, because the material had that form and potentiality. It wasn't a form. And they brought that potential they actualized it. But it was something that was there already. Within silver lies the potential for it to be in every shape. This shape, or flat, or round, or circular, or whatever it is. That is within the silver. So all they did was bring out one shape, and that's why they can go away from it and it will remain in that state. However, when something new is coming into being, the force of the newness, the force bringing about that must be there always. And he gave an example from Kriyas Yamsuf, when Hashem did a miracle and he split the sea. Since the nature of the sea is for it to be fluid and running and not stationary and standing. And over here Hashem made a chiddush, that the sea turned into a standing metzias, into an entity that stands. So over here we found that the wind, there was a strong eastern wind, and the Torah says that wind was blowing the entire night. Why was it needed to be blow the entire night? Why did it require the blowing of the wind the entire night? Exactly that. Because here something was occurring to the water that is completely unnatural to the water. Something totally new and of a novel, of complete novelty, which was happening to the water. So the Koyach HaMechadish, the power that was doing that Chiddush, had to be there continuously. If the Chiddush would go away, then the water would go back to its previous state. We discussed this last week, the 2 weeks ago, in the last class, the various different dimensions of the miracle, how it occurred on two stages. First, it just was held up like a wall, meaning held up. The water was closed as if it was in a vessel, but the water was still a liquid. And then it solidified. That was the second part of the miracle, and why he has to emphasize that. All that was discussed in the previous class. Now, we're going to continue and say, just like, as he said, just like that was required by Kriyas Yamsuf, by a miracle, and definitely by Maaseh Shemayim Va'aretz, by the doings of creation, where creation is a much greater, even a miracle. It's the novelty of creation, of bringing something out ex nihilo or ex nihilo, something from absolute nothingness into existence, that is even a greater accomplishment than the miracle of Kriyas Yamza. So definitely the power behind it, which is the words of Hashem, has to continuously generate and regenerate that power, accomplishment, existence, whatever it's bringing into existence. Because the nature of all of creation before Hashem got involved is that it doesn't exist. It was only that Hashem is bringing something new, and that is he's bringing it into existence. So the force has to be there. Okay, so let's read it again over here, just the last few words. V'kolshkin v'kal v'chaymer. This is, if you see on page 154, there's a little test there on the side of the page. It's not so clear, the test. So on that line, the line begins with the word me'atzma, and we're holding by, when we look to learn a few words further, but let's go back. V'kolshkin v'kal v'chaymer. And how much more so, b'briyas yesh me'ayin, at the creation of something from nothing. Shulamay l'ma'ateva, it is higher than nature. V'hafle v'pele, and it is far more wondrous, yoysem ekriyas yamza, far greater than the splitting of the sea. Alachas kama v'kama, so definitely, how much more so? Shebistalkus koyach aboyrim min anivrim, that when the power of the Creator would depart from the creation, chas v'sholem, God forbid, yoshuv anivra le'ayin v'yefes mamish, then the creation would revert and go back to nothing and to absolute nothingness. Now, l'tzorich li'es koyach apoyil b'nifal tamid lach yoysem, or rather, the power of the maker has to be in the effect, in the thing that is being made, constantly to give it lahachyosai, to enliven it, ulekaimoi, and to sustain it. It needs to continuously be there, making it, affecting it every second. Okay. Tehein hein pchinas oisi es hadibur. Now, what is this power that is present in the creation to continuously create it? These are the letters of divine speech. These are the letters of speech. From the 10 utterances, that through them it was created. Meaning those letters, which we know, as we learn Bereshis, that Hashem created the world through speech, those very words that Hashem spoke the world into existence, those words did not depart the creation, but rather they are continuously present within the creation, speaking the world into existence, bringing it in. And on this, and this is what he discussed in the first parak, how every creation has its particular letters that are embedded and invested and enclosed within the creations to bring about their existence. Remember, on this it says, "Va'ato mechayes kula," and you enliven everything. We say it in davening every morning. Varech David, "Va'ato mechayes kula," and you give life and you enliven all of existence. Al tikri mechaya. Now, don't read it mechaya. Don't read it. Now, the sages say about this: don't read it mechaya. Don't read it enlivening. Ella mahave, but rather bringing into beingness, which means the words of Hashem that are imbued into creation are not only to animate the creation, which would mean that if it would depart, the creation would be dead. But nevertheless, there would still be a creation. There would still be substance. It wouldn't be alive. It wouldn't be a soul to the creation. Like, for example, the difference between a live person and a dead person. A dead person still has a body. It's just not animated. Or a dead tree, a dead plant. So, from the verse, Va'ata mechayes kulam, it would imply that Hashem is the life in creation. And the word is indicating the perpetual involvement. It doesn't say, Va'ata Hechieso as kulam. You gave life in the past to everything. It says, Va'ato michaya, in the present. You are enlivening the creation. It says Hashem is continuously giving life. But the Chazal say that it's more than that. It's not only the Eibishter is giving life to the creations, but deeper than that. Ato mahave as kulam. Al tikri michaya. Don't read it michaya, read it mahave. Mahave meaning giving it beingness. Because as we learned in the first parak, if the Dvar Hashem, or even, and we proved it in this parak, the Dvar Hashem, which is responsible for the very existence, for the beingness, for the substances of all the creation, for their material, their in existence, if that Dvar Hashem would go away, then the creations would lose not only their life, They would lose their very beingness. The Hainu Yesh Miayim, which means something from nothing. Now, where is this medrash? Where does it say, Al Tikr Machaya Ella Mahava? What does that say? So, I don't know. In Chazal, meaning he just brings it like Al Tikr Stam, he doesn't say where the source is. This is brought down in Reishis Chachma and in Shalach HaKadosh. Now, is there a source before that? I'm not sure. But I guess that's also called Divrei Chazal. Reishis Chachma and the Shalach HaKadosh, where they say that the meaning of Machaya, when it says Va'ata Machaya is Kulam, is not that Va'ata Machaya, just that you're giving life, but that you're a Mahava. Well, this clicks very well with the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, how the words of Hashem are continuously giving existence to all of creation. Tahainu Yesh Mi'ayin, something from nothing. And now he takes it a step further. When it says Va'ato Machaya Eskulam, not only is this indicating the very idea, just a general idea, that Hashem is giving life in general to all of creation, and that creation is happening every second, it's an ongoing thing, because it says B'lashon Hoyveh, present. But also, this pasuk is also indicating the manner in which Hashem is giving life. Not only that He is giving life, but how is He giving life? Va'ata, the word va'ata means more than just you. Simply, va'ata, you Hashem, are giving life. But on the deeper level, va'ata, that the word va'ata is also hinting to the very power through which Hashem is giving life. We said, how is Hashem giving life to all the creations? By transmitting energy via the letters. It's through the utterance of the letters. He spoke those letters into the creation. That's a flow of energy that enters into every creation. The words themselves are like beams of energy that enter into the being, into the creation, and bringing about their beingness. And as we learned earlier, the various combinations of the letters, because you can take, these are 22 letters, and they can be combined in trillions of different ways. And not only they could, but they literally are, because Hashem spoke all those words, combining the letters, every combination serves as a different recipe to bring about a different kind of creature. So that's hinted to in the word va'ata, because the word va'ata is the letters aleph through tav. Ata, aleph through tav, indicating all the letters are the aleph base, from the aleph until the tav. But there's also a hey. Va'ata, what's the hey? It explains. Va'ata, and the word va'ata, hem b'chinas ha'oksiyos, these are the letters, me aleph v'yatav. From Aleph until Tav. Vahei, and the hey that's in the word Va'ata, hu hei moitzois ha-peh. These are the five organs of speech, Makoyer, or the Makoyer ha-oisiyos, the root, the Makor ha-oisiyos, the root and the source of the letters. Because as we know, the letters are divided into five different categories, because there are five organs of speech that articulate the letters. There are those letters that come from the lips, and those letters that come from the teeth, those that come from the palate, those that come from the tongue, and those that come from the throat. Those are the five categories of speech. So that's it, being that it's so that's the hey. Hey is five. So the hey is the root and the source from the origins of those letters. And that, so va'ata means it's the power of divine speech. As the word va'ata encompasses the 22 root letters, which later these very letters are transmitted into the creations to Mechaya Eskulam and to Mahave Eskulam, to give them life and to give them beingness. Now, the Afshe Ein Loidumus Aguf. Now what? Now is seemings. Now we're going to go back to all of this to present just a deeper question of what does he really want with all these questions over here. But just first, we're going to read this on a simpler way. The Afshe Ein Loidumus Aguf. Now he's perturbed by. Hold it. We're speaking about God. What does he mean? God spoke. God doesn't have an image of a body. So what does it mean to say by him that he spoke words, and those words are the letters, and the letters are going in? Even though Hashem doesn't have an image of a body, so you shouldn't. But he says that shouldn't bother you. Because at a mikram mole dibra kasav, we find that the pasuk, there is the verse continuously, always, in many places, the pasuk says openly, the pasuk, it says, Vaydabra Hashem, all over the Torah. Hashem spoke. So whatever you're going to interpret that speaking is, it's the same thing. Hashem spoke to creation. Vaydabra Hashem, Vayomer Hashem. There's always these references of Hashem spoke. But what does it mean? If Hashem doesn't have a body, so obviously it's not like human speech. So what does Vaydabra Hashem mean? What does Vayomer Hashem mean? And in the same also, what does it mean that Hashem spoke and that's how we transmitted the energy into the creation? It says the concept of speech by Hashem means whenever it says Vayedaber Hashem. Hashem spoke to Moshe. We spoke to this Navi. We spoke to you, whichever the Nevi'im are. It means that to these Nevi'im, to these prophets, it was revealed to them the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. That's through which Hashem communicates godly ideas. There is this godly level called letters, meaning forms of energy, elements of divine energy, different forms of transmission. Each letter indicating on a different nuance and different elements in the transmission of the way the energy flows and the way the energy is presenting itself. And in general, they are 22 manners through which Hashem, 22 primary channels through which He reveals, through which the creative energy is revealed to the creation. See, what we're using the mashal of speech is just like speech. Is where a person conveys and reveals ideas, feelings from his inner world to the outside. Concepts and ideas exit the human being and are communicated to the outside, to other people. Now by us, we do it through physical words. Hashem obviously doesn't have a physical body with physical organs of speech. But the idea is that He communicates to outsiders, to beings that are not Him, or we're going to soon see this, the thing is not Him, but at least perceive themselves as being not Him, as being outsiders of God, and that, which is the whole realm of creation, us included, spiritual beings also. But Hashem communicates godly life outside of it. He chooses to transmit, to serve as that flow of energy to the world in 22 passageways. And they are called the 22 letters of speech. So what is it? And that's what a prophecy means. A prophecy means Hashem is communicating something to the Navi. How did the communication take place? The Chav Beis Osios, the 22 godly letters, made their way down to the mind of the Navi, that the Navi was able to perceive those letters, a certain combination of letters. And that's what he understood. That's what it means. Hashem spoke to him. So it wasn't a physical sound, but it was that concept of the 22 letters making themselves be known in a conscious, open, visible way to the Navi. The Pchinas is Galus, Achav Beis Oisias Al Yoinas, these 22 letters found expression and revelation, Linevium to the Navi. Umisla Beshes Besichla. And being that it was a prophecy, see, here's the thing. Hashem is giving life to us too every minute through the 22 letters. But to us, it's in a concealed and a hidden way. We don't sense it, feel it, and see it. But in the Nevi'im, this was, it was revealed. Now, let's not get, meaning, it's not that it was revealed to them, the 22 letters that was creating them. That's something else. 22 letters of creation, that is creating the creation, that is, was hidden maybe to the Nevi'im too. They didn't see it or feel it. It was responsible for their body and for their existence. But besides creating the creation, these 22 letters serve as communicators through which Hashem communicates even after the world is created to communicate Torah, miracles, or whatever it is, information to the creations, a message to the creations. So that comes through the 22 letters. Those 22 letters, as they were communicated to the Navi, were enclosed in the mind of the Navi. The Navi, meaning the Navi, was able to grasp them and understand and know and understand what he's seeing. Umislabeshes, and it was again enclosed besichlam in their intellect. Vasagasam, and in the grasp. Bemara hanavua, in the appearance of this nevuah. Was when they saw the prophecy. But he takes it a step further. Not only was it revealed in their intellect, but also v'gam b'machshavtam, and also in their thought, which means v'diburam, and in their speech. K'mashakasav, like it says, Ruach Hashem diber bi, the Spirit of Hashem spoke in me, u'milosay, and His words al shayni, on my tongue. K'mashakasav Arizal, like that Arizal writes, b'sharan avu. Saying like this, not only, we would think maybe, they perceived something. Godliness was perceived somewhere deep, deep in their mind. They saw. Now, the vision was a vision. It was the 22 letters that Hashem was communicating something. They had a vision. Their minds experienced it in their intellect. But the thoughts, as they were chewing, see, thoughts is the way you're processing any intellectual idea, you're chopping it into thoughts. into words, because thoughts are also words. You might think that the words were already the Navi's own words. The Navi was somehow trying to find words to interpret this abstract vision that is beyond words. And they're using their human terminology, they're using human words to create thoughts and to figure out. And then they spoke, and their speech were their words. Giving over, she says, no, that's not what happened. The Chav Beis Oisiyos, the 22 letters of Hashem, have the power to communicate so far, and he's trying to indicate how low they can come. Is not only can they come into the mind of the Navi, but they're able to actually invest themselves into the thoughts of the Navi. When the Navi is thinking, he's not thinking his thought. It's like a thought. It's God's letters that is suddenly taking hold of his thought, and Hashem's thoughts are being processed through his thought. Those 20 letters have now entered into the thought of the Navi. So the thought, it's not the Navi's interpretation. Hashem is, so to speak, they're thinking God's thoughts in their minds, not their words. And even a step further, it even entered into their speech. The letters of speech are already much coarser than the letters of thought. They're thicker, heavier letters. Thoughts are very, very elegant letters, very refined letters. That's why another person can't hear them, only the person himself. The letters of speech have more of a thicker substance. That's why you have to have a breath that you're giving to it and so forth. So he's saying that the words of Hashem, when his galus hanavua was, that those very letters of the 22 letters came down so low that they enclosed themselves into the speech of the Navi, that the Navi wasn't saying anything of himself. He was just like a microphone through which Hashem's words found expression in the 22 letters of his speech. But it wasn't the Navi's speech, it was Hashem's speech coming through the Navi. So what do we see from here? This concept that the 22 letters can descend and even into the speech of the Navi. And when the people heard it, it's amazing. See, here's the thing. You would think that when you heard Nevuah, it's always so great. We lived in the days of the prophets. Those people who lived in the days of the prophets. You say, wow, they knew people who spoke to God. That's awesome. Someone, you know someone who speaks to Hashem. But when you're speaking to the Navi, when you hear the Navi speaking, so you're speaking to a Navi, and the Navi is telling you what he heard from Hashem. That's not true. When a Navi had a Nevuah, he perceived godliness. Godliness started sort of being downloaded into him. There was a transmission taking place of godly transmission entering into his mind. And then when the Navi was speaking, you heard Hashem speak. It wasn't the Navi speaking. The Navi was just through which God's words were coming. So people had, all the people, not just the Navi. It's an amazing thing. The people heard Hashem speak. It took on the Navi's, it went through and it took on a form of human speech because the 22 letters of Hashem became invested into the and thickened through the Navi's words so that we can hear it. But we heard Hashem speaking, not like we know by Moshe Rabbeinu. Shechina medaberes with the Chirei Neshamayim. And it seems from here that idea of the Shechina speaking through the mouth of Moshe is true about every Nevuah. That's the idea of Nevuah. I guess by Moshe Rabbeinu it was on a much higher level, and far more pronounced. But really, it was about every Navi. As he says, Kimo shekasa ruach Hashem dibarbi. It's the very word of Hashem, the spirit of Hashem, speaking in me. Umilasai, his words, alashayni, is on my tongue. Kimo shekasa arizal b'shara nevuah. Ukein zeh, and similar to that, not exactly, but similar to that, who is slapshis oisiyos bebruyim. Is the investment of the letters into the creations. In creation, we said, wow, too. Here, too, the Hashem is channeling his words, and those words enter into the creations to create them. So similar to that, it's this idea that Hashem is communicating these letters. Kedachsiv, as it says, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. With the word of Hashem, the heavens have been made. Beruach Piv Kotzavo. And with the spirit of his mouth, so again, with the word of Hashem, Shemayim Nasu, the heavens were created. Ibruach Piv, and with the spirit of his mouth, Kol Tzavah, all the hosts. So what exactly does he want to bring from this pasuk? What exactly is he trying to bring from this pasuk? He can't say he's trying to bring the general idea that Hashem spoke and through that the world was created. Because that you don't need this pasuk. You have Bereshis, Baruch Lekim, Esa Shemayim, Esa Aretz, Vayemir Lekim, Yehi Yor. What does he bring? He's going to hold Chad Chiddush over here. But Dvar Hashem, Shemayim Nasu. With the word of Hashem, Hashem was, with the word of Hashem, the heavens were made. And with the spirit of his mouth, as the explanation it seems is that it, this pasuk with Hashem Shemayim Nasu Ruch Puf Kol Tzavam is bringing, because this is paralleling the pasuk which is spoke by the Nevi'im, just like by the Nevi'im, the interpretation of what was said over there by that pasuk, Ruach Hashem Diber Bi, the spirit of Hashem spoke in me, which means that the words, the godly words themselves, spoke through the mouth of the Navi. So from here it says the same word, Bruach Piv, the breath of his mouth. So this is the parallel, that by in creation to Hashem's very breath, the very words themselves enter into the creations to create them. Similar to the Navi, which also was Ruach Piv, Ruach Hashem Diberbi, spoke in me. Rak, there's only one difference. To create the creations, the godly life force, the divine letters, had to contract themselves far, 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 far more than when they communicated to the Nevi'im. Because they had to enter into a far lower state of existence. The words of Hashem had to translate into physical substances, mamish. See, when the Navi heard it, the Navi was hearing, the Navi is a spiritual being. The Navi was a very, very, very refined human being. And how did he have Nevuah? He had Nevuah by, first of all, by completely, they had to work much to suppress the body and then elevate the body. And they had to come through meditation to a point where they were shespashtes agashmias. Shespashtes agashmias means they almost departed from their body completely. And they attained a complete, a total spiritual existence. And it was when they, which means they soared up to the higher worlds through meditation, through mind focus, they soared up to a very, very high spiritual element. And over there is where they encounter the godly, the prophecy, the words of Hashem, on the very, 99th floor, way up there. And from there they spoke. So the Dvar Hashem came down, but it came down to the higher realms of creation. True, to a certain since it entered into their speech, so that is already also a tremendous thing because it's coming into physical speech. But it's still, the speech of the Navi. But in creation, Hashem's words came in into comes down to be the life force and to express itself in every creation, even in low physical matter, even in a spider, even in literal dust and earth. So that means that the godly energy and the godly words are condensing far more. That's what he's saying. Rak shuwaya de yishtal shalis rabbis. But however, it's through a tremendous, tremendous, lots of down-like progression, which means a chain-like. The yishtal shalis means a chain-like downgrading, where something is diminished step by step in a gradual descent. Because the word hishtalshelus comes from the word shalshelus. Shalshelus is a chain that's made up from links. So each link is connected to the one before. And then the 39th link is connected only to the 38th link. It's not connected. It's via the other ones, it's connected even to the first, but it's not. It's an indirect connection. Same as also the godly words descended, like we learned over there, how many. He explained in the first parak. He explained how the general creations are able to receive receive directly from the 10 utterances, and other ones have to be exchanged, and the letters have to find another form of exchanging and exchanging and exchanging and exchanging. So many different times through the various different exchanges, and when each time you exchange is diminishing the energy, and also the different forms of exchanging is dependent on how great of a leap the energy is taking. How great is this transformation? How much is the restriction and the contraction on the light and on this flow? But whatever it is, it has to come through the yishtal shalis rabbis, a tremendous descent, vatsumais, and very, very powerful leaps, atsheyoyredes, until it can descend, lasiyo gufnis, into a physical world of asiyah, into the world of Asiya, which is a world of action, which is our world. But he adds Asiya gufness. Gufness meaning physical. Why does he say physical? Because we know Olam Asiya, there's also Olam Asiya Aruchni. In general, there are many worlds. There's Olam Atzilus, which is the world of emanation. Olam Abriya, with the world of creation. Olam Ayetzira, which is the world of formation. And then there's Olam Asiya. So generally, we think that Olam Asiya is this physical world. But we know from many from Chassidus and other places that Olam Asiya itself has two parts to it. There's the Olam Asiya Aruchni, the spiritual world of Asiya, and Olam Asiya Gashmi, in the physical world of Asiya. So he's saying that the Dvar Hashem came down so low all the way into the physical elements of this world. Which isn't the case by the grasping, the understanding of the Nevi'im. He, Batzilus, the Dvar Hashem that's coming into the Nevi'im remains in the level of Atzilus. So these letters are in our Atzilus figure letters, the letter of the Chav Beis Yosef, but they're being in, no, the creations. Atzilus is still a realm which is infinite and utterly beyond the perception of any creation. Let it be how high the creation should only be. As long as it is a creation, it can't. There is this quantum separation, this quantum distance between an absolute break between Bria and Atzilus. So in Atzilus, no one can perceive the light as it is in its pure Atzilus state. So the Nevi'im, even by the Nevi'im, what had to happen was that the light of Atzilus, those letters, were enclosed in a Bria Diga form, in letters of the world of Bria, which are already a whole different type of letters, and it was on that level that they were able to perceive the Nevuah. As opposed to, but which is different in the letters of creation, those letters have gone much further than Olam Abriya. It went through Olam Abriya, through all the esospheres of Olam Abriya, and then through into Olam Ayetzira, and through all the levels of Olam Ayetzira, into Olam Asiya Aruchni, and ascending through all those levels, all the way down into Olam Asiya Gashmi. And that's how it enters into every physical creation in order to give it life. Okay. That is the conclusion of this chapter. However, if we take a little bit of a look in the last 15 or so lines that we learned today, there is something that seems to be a little bit difficult to understand. And that is, this whole ending seems to be unnecessary for the main theme of what he's trying to tell us. The main theme of what he's telling us in Tanya is the perpetuality of creation. The creation is not something that happened way back then, but that Hashem is continuously creating the world. And that how is Hashem doing that? He did it through speech. Fine. And he proves in this chapter that the logical thing of that. So when he concludes that the Dvar Hashem has to be continuously in the creation to be there, he says these are the words of Hashem. Like it says, to prove that, as it says in the pasuk, "Va'ato mechayes kulo," that Hashem is giving life to the creation. That's it. Why is it over here in Negeya? I mean, in this period, the whole question. That's the question. How do you say by Hashem that there is speech? What does speech mean? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't surprise you, because it says that what that v'dabar Hashem, v'yomer Hashem, and whatever it means over there, it also means over here, and it gives a whole explanation of that. That's very nice and a good thing, but it doesn't belong in this chapter. This is a question that you can have anywhere. When you're learning that Hashem spoke, you'll ask the question. What does it mean Hashem spoke? When you're learning Bereishis, you have already the question. When Hashem spoke, what does it mean God is a body? What is he speaking? This whole explanation seems to be out of place. Everything over here. And more than that, it gets into such detail and explanation, the difference, and by how the Navi spoke, and where it was, what's the level of it, it's Atzilus coming into Bria, and so forth. And the difference, the slight difference that it is from creation, that over here it has to be downgraded far more. Based on what we discussed in the first parak, in the end of the first parak, that the Baal Shem Tov, the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, is much more than what it would appear like if you're learning just superficially the Shara Yichud Amun. Generally, if someone learns Shara Yichud Amun, it seems like the Baal Shem Tov wants to tell us only one thought, one idea. Creation is continuous every second. It's not something that happened in the past every second. But as we explained then, that the depth of what he's saying over here, the Baal Shem Tov is saying much more than that. And that is that not only is it, the creation a continuous thing, but Hashem's intimate involvement in the creation. And that is that the manner in which he creates, that he creates the world through speaking the world, not through willing the world into existence, but speaking it. And speech needs to be taken literally. In what sense does speech have to be taken literally? In that that it's not just, we want to say, just like a person conveys his will through speech, Hashem also, the speech is something that is like Hashem conveying his desire that there should be a creation. But no, that Hashem literally spoke the worlds into existence. What's the chiddush? What was the main novelty of that? The main novelty is that the energy, which are the words that Hashem speaks, enter into the creation, and they become the very substance of every creation. That God, or the God or divine energy, assumes the qualities of his creations. And the content of every creation is not the creation. The content of every creation is a godly manifestation of letters. Which means, it wouldn't be possible to say like this, that Hashem, I mean, we elaborated on this in the previous, earlier class, but again, it wouldn't be possible to say like this, that Hashem desired a world. He desired. And out of his will, the creations came into being. Now, what every creation is. Water is water, and fire is fire. And a rock is a rock, and a tree is a tree. These things, of course, Hashem desired them, but what is a rock? A rock is a rock, and a tree is a tree. Meaning the nature, the character, the style, the flavor, the chemistry of the creations, that's them. That's not Hashem. And that would mean that there is an equal energy in all of creation. Hashem is responsible for the very substance, for the very being of every creation. And of course, he's also responsible for how they come into existence, what style they are. But once he desires them to come into existence, their features are theirs. Because these features don't exist in God. Hashem doesn't have the element of water in him. Hashem doesn't have the element of fire in him. He doesn't have these elements because he's not them. He's simple with utter simplicity. The Baal Shem Tov says absolutely not. Of course, Hashem is simple with utter simplicity. But the divine energy that he chose to create the world, the energy itself assumes character. It assumes the particular character of every creation because he enters into every creation to be that which the creation is going to be. And that's what it means, the letters. The letters are mislabish. Mislabish means it has to fit it. It fits itself to every creation. It styles itself in the style of the creation. And that means that the rock has a complete different form of life than fire has, or than a tree has, or than any other creation. Everything has its own. And what is the content of the rock? The properties of the rock or the stone are not theirs, because they have nothing to say for themselves. Even their style is not theirs. Even that, the Hashem has it. It's him, and a reflection of who, of his, it's a silly word to say, of his rockishkeit, of him being like a rock, is reflected in the actual rock. That's all that it is. It's just a mirror reflection. Because first Hashem assumed the qualities of a stone before the stone came into existence. So what is the stone? First of all, without Hashem, the stone couldn't exist. Secondly, not only does the stone couldn't exist, but Hashem is everything the stone is. The energy, because the energy has styled itself with that style. And then the stone comes into existence. That's the idea of Islapshus. It's much deeper than just the idea that Hashem is responsible for the creation. He's like, fits the creation like a glove, enters into every element of creation. That's what he means. He speaks the words. Based on that, we can understand what he's saying over here. He spoke about the Atom Chaya as Kulam. Hashem gives life to all of the creations. And he said that the sages say that don't read it enlivening, reading it mahave. Mahave meaning giving it existence. Don't read it enlivening. However, the Pasuk does say Va'ata Machai. Now, if the Pasuk wanted to say Va'ata Mahave, then the Pasuk would have said Ata Mahave. Every time we say Al Tikri, don't read it like this, read it like this, It doesn't mean that we're dismissing and eliminating the previous reading. Because if it would be dismissed, then why couldn't the Torah just say that? Similar to what we studied Thursday night. When it says, don't read it, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimach, read it Meya. Now we explain that it's not that we're eliminating the Ma. The Meya and the Meya is an interpretation on the Ma. That was the discussion we learned in the Thursday night class. Same over here, when it says, Atikra Machaya El Ma'ave, it doesn't mean that there's no Machaya. Machaya is also true. Hashem is enlivening the creation, and he's giving Ma'ave the creation. But hold it. If Ma'ave is so much of a greater Chiddush, what's Ma'ave? Ma'ave meaning he's giving them the very substance, that God is not only responsible of giving life to the creation, but he's also responsible in making them be in their very being. So why does the Pasuk then have to say Va'ata Machayas? And the answer is, according to what we just spoke, what the Baal Shem Tov is saying, there's a big Chiddush in Ma'ave, that Hashem is giving its very substance, but there's also a Chiddush in Mechaya. Mechaya means not only that he's giving life, like a soul into a body. Mechaya means, life means, he is the content of every creation. See, life doesn't only mean that your fingers can move. Life means, life is the content of the human being. See, the difference between a dead person and a living person. Right? Not only that, here you have, a dead person is lacking a soul, and a dead corpse, and a living person is a body with a soul. No. A living person is a human being. When there's a soul in there, the whole thing is transformed. It's not fingers and toes and a nose and ears. And on a corpse, that's what it is. It's just a bunch of various different organs that are attached to each other. When a soul is in a body, the whole content changes. This is a human being. Being alive means being human. The whole body changes because the soul gives it content, the true content of what it is. And that's what we mean that Hashem is the Chayus. He's not only the Mahava of the creation. He is the life of the creation. He is the content of every creation. By the way, we didn't get to speak about it in the first chapter, but over here in the first chapter, he uses a terminology that really didn't make any sense, which seems not to make any sense. When it speaks about the domain, the inanimate objects, stones, he says that even a stone has life, and the life which serves as the, he uses the words, again, the stone, that even in a stone, there's the letters of speech of the sermons. Ha-mechayos, that enliven, u-mahavos as-adomim, and give existence to the domain, to the inanimate object. So we didn't really get into it then, but there's an obvious, very powerful question. I can understand if you're going to tell me that dead matter, a stone, and minerals, they have there is some kind of spiritual energy that gives them existence, that brings them into being. But when you're using, but for that you use the word mahavah, that there is a nefesh there, there is some kind of spirit in it that's serving as its energy to give it its substance, bringing it to. But what do you mean that there is an energy over here that is mechaya? Mechaya meaning animating it. There's no animation in a mineral. There's no animation in a stone, in a water. This is dead things. When you're talking about an animal, an insect, even a plant, so you can say two things. You can say there's energy that's bringing the very substance of the thing, and then there's another form of energy that is also the animation of it, the spirit of it. But when you're dealing with dead things, what kind of machaya? Mahava we can understand, but what's machaya? And the answer is what we're speaking about before. He doesn't mean life in terms of the thing dances around and moves and it has life. That's not what we mean life. We mean that every stone has a quality to it. A diamond is a diamond. It's different. It has character. That character is its life. That's the life of even things that are inanimate. They also have a life. It's their definition, their character, the soul of the object, of what it is. And what he's saying is that God's energy is invested in every creation. He is the life. He is the content of every creation. Not only responsible for their beingness, and then their life, the content is theirs. He is the life of everything. He is the reality of every creation. He is its so to speak, animation. He is the soul of every entity. That's the idea. And it's for that reason that over here, that the Pasuk doesn't only want to say Va'atom. The Pasuk doesn't say Va'atom Ahaves Kulam. If it would say Va'atom Ahaves Kulam, then it would mean that Hashem is giving existence to all of creation. The Pasuk wants to say not only are you giving existence, but Va'atom Mechayes Kulam. You're also giving content to every creation. Because you, the letters of Aleph to Tav, they are the content, they are the life of every creation. They are its inner soul. Not only the substance of its beingness, but the style of its beingness. That too is the Eibishter, is godliness, not the creations. For that reason, he has a question. That would mean, if that's the case, that means that those letters are very, very real. That means that Hashem is mamish transmitting something through speech. But hold it, God is not human. If we're saying that the Eibishter's speech is literally entering into the creations, so we're talking about something coming from him that he's speaking to the world. So Hashem is not human. And he doesn't have the image of a body. So how can you say speech? So he says, oh, take a look by prophets. Prophets is also the same idea. Hashem is speaking to another. And what does speech by another mean? It means these 22 letters are entering into the space, into the parameters of the Navi. If not for this whole theme of what we're learning over here, it wouldn't be a question. We can say that the godly energy remains absolutely above and beyond the creation, in God himself. And the creation sort of exists in there. He's responsible for them, but they occupy their own space. It's them. But now that we're saying no, that Hashem is entering very personally into every creation, investing himself, enclosing himself, imbuing himself into the creation, and forming himself to the form of his creations, and now we're talking about so that he's asking, how can you say that in Hashem's speech? He says, well, that's what happens by a Navi. When Hashem is speaking to the Navi, the 22 letters are entered, and to every Navi differently. This one perceived this Nevuah, this one perceived that Nevuah. And more than that, not only did it enter into their brain, into their Asaga, it went so far that it entered into their thought and entered into their speech. It's the condensing of those letters into the very, very speech. If that's the case, now we can understand. Same can also apply to the Dvar, not can apply, but applies to the Dvar Hashem that speaks all the creations into a being, that he literally comes down through a chain-like progression. Over here, however, it's more than over there, because over here it's descending even more, to come down very, 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 very low, even into the physical creations, where he is the content of the very physical creations. That's how low and how diminished and how intimate, involved, and how precious his creations are, even those that are the most far-flung, even those that are in the farthest etches of the universe, so distant and so far, even into them, he contracts and condenses himself, or his energy, all the way into them to become who they are, or be invested in them, and through that create. Yes. Yes. Without the Baal Shem Tov, we wouldn't say that. Without the Baal Shem Tov, we would say that the godly energy, God's energy is infinite. It's pure. It doesn't have any parameters, any definitions. It's only that. And he's omnipotent. So he, with his will, wants creations, and he creates them. But his energy itself remains above and beyond. And in that's what we would say without the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov's teaching is how close Hashem gets to his creations when he creates them. That he enters into their world, so to speak. He enters into their space, into their world, and into their very limitations and boundaries to create them. And that's a chiddush. That Hashem's, that godly energy, that's the whole idea of the 22 letters. The 22 letters are what take godliness from its pure, abstract, undefined state and give it form and restriction and limitations so that it could create in a finite manner. Yeah, that was the main nakuda and theme of why he adds all of this in this chapter. Okay, now we're just going to learn just the first three lines in the next chapter. Perigim. Okay. V'hine, now behold, acharei advarim va'emes ha'ele, after these words and this truth, kol maskel al davar, every maskel, every wise person, yavin la'ashuroi, everybody who really thinks about this and understands this will understand, yavin la'ashuroi, will understand thoroughly, eich shekol nivra v'yesh, how every creation and being and substance is in truth considered to be naught and absolute nothing. This is the great teaching, Hasidic teaching. So we always get back to the same thing. It always comes back to tell you how a nothing you are. Okay, so what does he say again? The idea over here is that if someone thinks and hears, understood, and really sees this happening, what we spoke about before, the conclusion is how everything is really nothing. Why? Legabe koyach apoyel, in comparison to the power of the maker, the emanating power, or the ruach piv, and the spirit of his mouth, shebenifal, that is in every creation. Hamahava isaitamit, that brings him into existence constantly, umbaitziyai, and brings him out, me'ayin mamish, from absolute nothingness, liyash, to something. Meaning, since, as we explained before, that without the godly energy that is in the creation couldn't exist even for one split second, and meaning, it on its own, if Hashem would leave the creations off and let them be on their own, they would just disappear completely. Because they have no beings. And the only reason they exist is because he is imbued and in them every second. And they're just like a reflection of his being in them. So we can understand that well. That if we look at them in comparison to him, separate the two, look at the creations and weigh them against their godly energy. And we say, what is true substance? What really exists? Look at it. The creations themselves, without this force, are completely not. And it's only him that is in them, being them. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is there is really nothing but him. Because this is true about everything, about every entity, every being in the world. That if not for that godly energy that is within it every second, speaking into existence, it wouldn't exist. So if we're going to look we don't feel it, so to us, as we're going to see, so to us, we're a very important mitzvah, a real substance, a real existence. But to him, who mamish sees this, imagine if you can see this, how all of creation is just being brought into existence every second from this force. So to him that sees it, the creations are not, they don't have any existence. It doesn't mean that they're not around. They're around, but what are they? They're absolutely nothing. He is the creation. It's him. So there's really nothing but him. Now we'll understand what means Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. Hashem is one doesn't come to exclude that there is no other God in the world. There's no other beingness. It's only him, because without that godly light, the creations are just not. So he is everything. And that's all that there is. This is again, Ech Shekol Nivra V'Yash. How every creation, every being, who be'emes nechshev la'ayin ve'efes mamish, is truthfully, literally, considered to absolute nothing, legaba koyach apoyel v'ruach piv shebenifal, in comparison to the power, the force that is giving beingness, and the spirit of Hashem's mouth that is within the creation, that is bringing it into existence every second. If so, amash akol nivra v'nifal mera lanu liyesh. Now why And this, that every creation and being appears to us from our eyes, liyesh, to something, umamoshus, and they have substance, as if they have some beingness. Zehu machma she'einon umasigim v'royin be'enei basar es koyach Hashem. That is because we do not grasp, and we don't see with our physical eyes, even if we maybe intellectually comprehend this, but we don't see it with our eyes, as koyach Hashem, the power of Hashem, v'ruach piv she'benivra, and the breath of Hashem's mouth, and his words that are in every creation. And that is why the creation to us appears to be of substance. Avol, however, ilu nitnu rishus la'ayin lirois, if permission would be granted to the eye to see, ulahasik, and to grasp, as a chayus the energy, veruchni yeshabachol nivra, and the spiritual force that is in every creation, hashafei, a boy that is flowing into it, memoitze pi Hashem, from Hashem's mouth, veruach piv, and Hashem's, and the breath of his mouth, loy ha yegashmi yesan nivra v'chumra yumamashoy nede klali enenu. So the physicality of the creation, v'chumroi, and its corporality, u'mamoshoi, and its substance, it wouldn't be seen at all to our eyes. As if we would see things the way they are, we wouldn't even see the things. We wouldn't even see the world. Ki hu batal b'metzias mamish, because it is completely and absolutely nullified, legaba achayis v'aruchni yishaboy, in comparison to the chayis, to the life force, and the spiritual force that's in it. Me'achar, since, shem b'lodai ha'aruchni yis, since without that spiritual force, it would be nothing, and absolutely nothing, would be absolutely nothing like it was before creation. Mamish, literally. And it's the spiritual force that is flowing upon it, from the utterance of Hashem's mouth, the ruach piv, and the breath of his mouth. This exclusively is what brings it out from absolute nothing into something, and brings it into being. So it comes out that there is nothing but Him in truth. So this whole concept, Be'ez Hashem, of Perek Gimel, we're going to elaborate next.